been a good week. It's been a busy week, but it's been a good week, and we thank the Lord for that. Everything went great yesterday at the wedding ceremony, and wanted to say a big thank you to all those folks who stayed last night and just helped, you know, get things back in order and clean and all of that. We have some incredibly, incredibly hard workers at Calvary Baptist Church. There's no doubt about that. And then folks that decorated and folks that served. And, man, it's just amazing. This is an amazing place. And anyway, we know that our Lord is worth serving. Amen? That's what it's all about. And so we're hoping and praying that He receives glory today. How many of you have a special request of prayer? And you'd signify that by an uplifted hand. So a lot of hands lifted today. Let's pray for all these special needs. We have had some folks in the hospitals this week, and so anyway, remember them in your prayers. Pray for them. Pray for those that are struggling with different major things right now with cancer. And continue to pray for Brother Todd and Miss Amy Queen. Pray for Miss Amy, if you will, and Pastor Ryan, you know, Pastor Ryan Marlowe and his family. Remember them in your prayers, if you will. And then we gave you a handout today. Appreciate Brother Donnie and Miss Tamara. They help us produce those. And there's a little section at the bottom. If you're new in the class today, there's a little section at the bottom that says my prayer request. And so if you have a special request of prayer, you can just jot that down in that little allotted space. And there's a little preparation right there. Just tear those off. Tear it off when you're done. You can pass those into the information desk. And we'll do our best to make those a matter of prayer this week. We prayed over your prayer slips this week. And so we don't just, you know, we don't gather those things and just throw them away. We really do pray over them. And so if you have a special request of prayer, and some of you do, you've already let me know this morning, just jot it down there, turn those in, and they'll make sure that I get those by the end of the night. And that'll be great. Well, praise the Lord. Looking forward to a great day today. Amen? Amen. Love church. Love being a part of the family of God. Nothing like it. Man, there's just nothing. There's nothing like living for the Lord. Amen. There's really not. And what a privilege. We're so blessed to be able to do what we're doing this morning. And so we thank the Lord for that. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. I want you to take your Bibles and I want you to turn over to Acts chapter 12. That's where we're going to be today. Acts chapter number 12. This week, of course, we had Q&A this Wednesday, and we had a wonderful time at question and answer and great food and fellowship, and there were some really good questions that were asked. And then, as always, typically after that, we'll have some folks that just, you know, have a question that they'll post to me. And we had some good questions on prayer this week. Real good questions on prayer. And so I just felt like the Lord was leading this direction. And so I want to take today and maybe even the next few weeks, and I want to teach a little bit on the subject of prayer. And I believe this is going to be helpful to you. It's already been helpful to me, and I think it's going to be a blessing to you. And so let's go to the Lord, and then we're going to jump into Acts chapter 12 today and teach just for a few minutes. Father, we love you. Thank you so much for the privilege to be back at church. God, we thank you for the church. Thank you for the family of God. And Lord, what a blessing it is to be a part of this wonderful, wonderful family. God, we're not perfect, but we're forgiven. And Lord, what a joy it is to be saved and to know that we know that we're on our way to heaven. And Lord, it's just an honor and a privilege to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we just thank you and praise you for that. God, we've already enjoyed the morning. I mean, Lord, even before Sunday school started, Lord, the fellowship's been priceless. Just getting together with the people of God and just fellowshipping and feeding off of one another and enjoying each other's fellowship. And we've enjoyed that. Lord, thank you for what was done at the nursing homes this morning. We thank you, Lord, for what you have done already, what you're going to do throughout the day on the radio broadcast. And God, we sure pray that you would empower the radio. Lord, just help those to reach out. And I pray that, Lord, that they would hit the target. And I pray that Christ would be glorified through all that's done. Lord, I do pray for those of our folk that are under the weather. Lord, I pray that you would touch them. I pray that you would heal them. I pray that you would bring them back to us really, really soon. And then, Lord, those that are battling some things that are, you know, a lot more serious than, Lord, a virus or something like that. We pray for them especially that, God, you would touch their bodies. And, Lord, that you would give them miraculous healing. Lord, we're so glad you're the great physician. And, God, you're able to give not just healing, but you're able to give great healing. And we'll see that today, Lord, in the 11 o'clock hour. And, Lord, I pray that you'll just come now in a great way. We're so thankful for what you did last Sunday. Thank you for the banner crowd. In fact, Lord, a record Sunday morning crowd in the 32 years that I've been here. And, Lord, there were so many lost people that were here, visitors. God, please help some of those. Please help all of those to come back. And I pray today would be the day that some folks will find the Lord and that their life will be changed and that you'll put them on a new path. Lord, we could take the whole time and just pray today. But, God, we want to get in the Word a little bit, and I believe you want us to. I pray that our hearts will be stirred. I pray that we'll receive blessing and edification. And, Father, more than anything, we pray that Christ will receive praise and honor and glory from all that's done today. Forgive us of anything that could hinder. And I pray that the Spirit of God would accomplish His perfect work. We love you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. And for His sake and all God's people said, amen. Look at Acts chapter 12 this morning, if you will. And let me give you a few thoughts today. Acts 12, verse 1. The Bible says, now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword, and because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also, and then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, Peter, he put him into prison, and look at this, now isn't this amazing, and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him. So here's this gospel preacher, and he is being guarded by 16 soldiers. Boy, this is a high priority inmate right here, that's for sure. Intending after Easter or Passover to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. But look at this last line here. The Bible says, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And let's look what happened. The Bible says, and when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers. Now, church, this is a great story, and you just got to love this story. I mean, because it's just great. And so here is this gospel preacher, you know, he's not a murderer, he's not a serial killer, he's just a gospel preacher preaching the gospel, but he is so high priority that Herod has put him in between 16 soldiers. And now, in the night, he's in the prison. There are two soldiers that are chained to him. They're on the inside of the prison. There are keepers on the outside of the door. I mean, man, you just got to love this. And the next day, Herod's going to bring Peter out, and he's going to execute him. James has already been killed. And so he's, you know, Herod's a wicked man. He's a man of his word, so he's going to kill Peter. And isn't it amazing that the night before Peter is supposed to be executed, you know what he's doing? He's sleeping. In fact, we'll find out here in just a moment. He's already kicked his shoes off. And so he's very comfortable. I mean, he's gotten comfortable. So the Bible says that in verse 6, and when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers. You know, I don't mean to, you know, elaborate so much on this, but it's hard not to elaborate on this story. And, you know, you've got to be wondering at this point, what are the soldiers thinking? You know, typically when they execute people there, I mean, they come kicking and screaming. And so here's these two soldiers. They're bummed because, this prison's not nice. I mean, I guarantee you this prison's not anything close to what our inmates are in today. And Herod is so, you know, he's so serious about this that he's making these soldiers sleep inside the prison with Peter. And so they're already bummed about that. They're thinking, man, why in the world should I have to be in this prison with him? This guy's going to get executed the next day, and yet he's sleeping like a baby. The Bible says he's bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. Verse 7, and behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up. Get up. Get up. I mean, he's having to wake him up here. Arise up quickly. And look what happens here. And the Bible says, and his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. So Peter kicked off his shoes, and he's comfortable. He's sleeping. And so he did. And he saith unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him and wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came into the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. Open sesame. Amen. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door, now I started to stop right there, but I want to read on a little further because this is just too good. Verse 13, and as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, now this is where they're praying. They're having prayer meeting, and they're praying that the Lord is going to protect Peter and that God's going to set him free. That's what they're praying. Lord, please set Peter free. God, please protect him, protect him. We know James has lost his life. Lord, protect him. We know you can do this. Lord, protect Peter. God, deliver him. God, set him free. God, please do something miraculous. Oh, Lord, please. Verse 13, and as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. Look at these people of great faith, man. And they said to her, thou art mad. Girl, you're crazy. Don't you know where Peter is? I know we're here praying that God will set Peter free, but don't you know where Peter is? Peter's in prison. Peter's in jail. Now, I know we're praying that God will set him free, but there's no way Peter could be out. I know we're praying about that, but there's no way Peter could be out there. And they said unto her, thou art mad. But she, boy, isn't this a blessing, but she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, it is his angel. We don't believe it. It's his ghost. That's who it is. But Peter continued knocking. Well, thank the Lord there were a few folks that were insistent on this. And Peter continued knocking. And when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. The Bible says they were astonished. Well, I guess they were. And so we're gonna take Acts chapter 12, and we're gonna delve into this a little bit today, and maybe the next couple weeks or so. But I want to talk to you about the practice of prayer in the early church is what I want to talk to you a little bit about this morning. So the church of Antioch is where this is going on. It's a young church, but the church of Antioch has a really, really amazing history. Now, the reason I say that is because this was a church plant, but this church plant got off to a great start. And these really were great people. They lacked faith, but they're really a picture of us, is really what this is all about. But they got off to a great start. And one of the reasons they got off to a great start is because at least for a year, the Bible tells us that they enjoyed teaching. And not just teaching, but they enjoyed teaching from some incredibly anointed teachers. Now, turn back a page and look at Acts chapter 11. And look at verse number 26, Acts 11, verse 26. The Bible says, and when he, that's Barnabas, the son of consolation, and when he, Barnabas, had found him, that's the apostle Paul. And when Barnabas had found him, found Paul, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass, look at this, that a whole year they, Barnabas and Saul, or Barnabas and Paul, that a whole year they assembled themselves together with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. No wonder, no wonder. I mean, for a solid year, they've had Barnabas and Saul have been there for a year just teaching and pouring into these new Christians. And boy, no wonder the Bible says they were called Christians first in Antioch. I mean, they were getting some great teaching, some great preaching. And one of the things that they no doubt learned in the church of Antioch was they learned the importance of prayer. They learned how to pray. They learned what it meant to pray. Now, I didn't realize I have these things in the outline, but this morning I'm just going back over this and I'm just reading, and man, it's just fresh. I mean, it's just fresh. And I noticed several things from the passage even this morning, and I just jotted them down in my outline, and I thought I'd give them to you. Several things we notice about prayer. Number one, we notice that prayer moved the angel of the Lord. Look, if you will, at Acts chapter 12, look at verse number 7. So here this church is, and they're praying and praying and praying. They're having a prayer meeting. Verse 7 says, "And behold, the angel of the Lord," what did he do? He came. The angel of the Lord came. Look, if you will, at verse number 8. The Bible says in verse 8, "And the angel," what? "Said." And so one of the things that we find out is that prayer moved the angel. The angel came. The angel said. The angel was interactive. Man, he set Peter free. He delivered Peter. Now, again, originally this wasn't in the outline, but I just want to say this. You want to move heaven? You know how you move heaven? By prayer. That's how you move heaven. That's how you get heaven moving. That's how you get energy, spiritual energy moving, is by spending time in prayer. So prayer moved the angel of the Lord. I notice, next of all, prayer delivered one of God's choice servants. Look at verse 7 again. The Bible says, "And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise up quickly." Look at the next line. "And his chains fell off from his hands." Oh, come on now. Man, we could preach here for a little while. Boy, what's a problem to people is not a problem to God. Now, I don't know. I don't know if the angel just went like that. Maybe he didn't do anything. But I know one thing. Peter's chained between two soldiers, by the way. And the Bible says that the chains just fell away. You may know somebody here today that has chains in their life. And it just seems like nothing works. I'm telling you what, man, I'm feeling the Holy Spirit on this morning. Aren't you glad we know a chain breaker?
Yes, sir.
And the way those chains, yes, yeah, the way those chains fall off is by prayer.
Yeah.
And so some of you here this morning, without a doubt, a shadow of a doubt, you've prayed and you've prayed and you've prayed, and the devil comes and the devil says, "Not working. Just keep on praying." Because that's what the church of Antioch, that's what they thought too. Because when Rhoda said, "He's at the door," they said, "Man, you're crazy." And so just keep on praying. Because God's able to help those chains to fall away. So prayer delivered one of God's choice servants. I noticed this. Prayer, man, I never saw this before. Prayer motivated family members to stay faithful. Look at verse 12, Acts 12, verse 12. The Bible says, "And when he," Peter, when he had considered the thing," look at this, Calvary. The Bible says, "He came to the house of Mary, the mother of John," all right? Which John? "Whose surname was," what? "Whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying." Boy, that, I read that this morning, I was like, whoa! You know who John Mark is? John Mark is the one who went with Paul and Barnabas to the field. And we don't know what happened. The Bible doesn't tell us what happened, but John Mark got discouraged or he got homesick or something. But the Bible says that John Mark left. He left the field and sort of left the ministry, so to speak, and went back home. That's why later on when Paul and Barnabas were getting ready to go on another missionary journey, and Barnabas, the son of consolation, says, "Hey, Paul, let's take John Mark." And Paul says, "No way. We're not taking John Mark. He's the one that left us. We're not taking that quitter. We're not taking him." But if you read on in your Bible, you know what you find out? You'll find out that John Mark, even though he left the ministry, evidently he came back to the ministry. And he became a very, very important part of the work of God. You know why I believe that happened? He had some folks praying.
Yeah.
John Mark grew up, he grew up in a praying home. I believe John Mark had a praying mama. And I don't know why John Mark left the ministry, but evidently mama kept on praying and some folks were praying. And John Mark ended up going back to the ministry and became very valuable. In fact, in the latter days of Paul's life, remember what Paul said to Timothy? When you come, bring John Mark with you. Whew, man. Well, this is good stuff, isn't it? I noticed something else. I notice here that prayer influenced young children. Look at verse 13. The Bible says, and as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And so there's this prayer meeting that's going on in Mary's house, and evidently there are children there. There are young people there. Rhoda, the Bible calls her she's just a damsel. And so she's involved in this prayer meeting. And then something that really stood out to me this morning, too, was verse 14. The Bible says, and she hears the knocking. She goes to the door. She doesn't open it. She goes to the door. The Bible says, verse 14, and when she knew Peter's voice, she never saw him, by the way. They didn't have glass. They didn't have storm doors. This is probably a wooden door. She cannot see him, but she hears him. And when she hears his voice, she knew it was. Wasn't it something? You know what? A lot of kids know about Captain Marvel, Captain America, Spider-Man, Incredible Hulk. I mean, they know all about, you know, all the movie stars and the NBA celebrities and football and all those kind of things. But isn't it sad that a lot of kids, if you were to mention a preacher, they don't have a clue who that is. And they know all the songs that go with the theme shows and those kind of things, but don't know how to quote a verse. And here, Rhoda, she's just a damsel, and yet she hears his voice. That's Peter. That's preacher, right? That's preacher. I'd recognize his voice anywhere. I've heard it many times. That's preacher right there. And I've just got to believe that these kids, and evidently if Rhoda's there, probably more kids are there. And I just really believe that this prayer meeting is influencing them. I remember many, many years ago, we had a cottage prayer meeting at our home. I'm talking about mom and dad's home. And that's been, man, I mean, that's been a long, long, long time. I was just a kid. And still to this day, I remember that. It made an impact on my life. Somebody said it like this: did you stop to pray this morning? As you started on your way, did you ask the Lord to guide you, walk beside you through the day? Did you think to pray this morning? Did you kneel just one moment today? Oh, the skies will be blue because he's walking with you if you just remember to pray. And then one of my absolute favorite songs growing up, Jim Reeves wrote this song, How Long Has It Been Since You Talked With the Lord and Told Him Your Heart's Hidden Secrets? How long since you prayed? How long since you stayed on your knees till the light shone through? How long has it been since your mind felt at ease? How long since your heart knew no burden? Can you call him your friend? How long has it been since you knew that he cared for you? I'm talking about prayer. You know what, folks? I'm pretty convinced of this. If there's anything that's neglected in our churches today, we're teaching on it this morning. Now, I'm all for you reading your Bible. You know that. I want you to read your Bible. And I read my Bible every single day. And I'm going to be honest with you. It's much easier to read your Bible than it is to pray. And I can't even explain all of that because both are spiritual. But there's just something about reading your Bible that's easier. It's just easier to do. And I hadn't always been like this, but, you know, the more I grow in my Christian life, the more I love Bible study. I mean, it's not a drudgery. It's not an obligation. I don't dread going there. Man, I enjoy Bible study. But there's just something about prayer. Man, when you get ready to pray,
Boy, how many know the forces of evil? They come out of the woodwork, don't they? Isn't it somehow when you get ready, isn't it somehow you can read your Bible, the phone never rings. You start praying, every spam caller in North Carolina starts calling. Everybody knocks on your door. The kids have a need. It's mama, mama, mama. It's just like, you're like, man, I just want to spend a few moments in prayer. And yet it seems like hail just bombards the prayer room. And that's not accidental. You know why? Because prayer is a very spiritual thing. It's spiritual warfare. And mercy, I'm glad we're teaching on this morning. I want you to notice some prayer lessons that we learn here from the early church. And how about this? First thing, one of the first things we notice is the importance of what we're going to call corporate prayer. Now, look back at your Bibles, if you will, Acts chapter 12, and look at verse number 12. The Bible says, I'll tell you what let's do. Let's read it together. Acts chapter 12, verse 12. Ready? And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. I want to really focus on that last part, where many were gathered together praying. There is power in prayer. Was it Ian Bounds that said, much prayer, much power, little prayer, little power, no power? And there's definitely power in prayer, but the Bible definitely seems to exemplify corporate prayer, where we get together and we pray together, not just as an individual, although that's very, very important, but it's important that we pray corporately, that we get together and pray. That's why we pray throughout the day here at Calvary. Corporate, it's what we call corporate prayer or group prayer. And when you come together as a group, There's just something about that. Remember when you were a kid and you wanted to spend the night with your friend or something like that, and you said to your friend, "Go with me. I got to go ask mom. Go with me." You know, why do you want you to go? Why do you want me to go with you? Because if you go with me, she'll probably say yes. Am I telling the truth? And we did that too. We did that. And my cousin and I, we were constantly, I was spending the night at his house, he was spending the night at my house, and I'd say, "Hey, go with me and ask Dad." Now, Mom was a little easier. Dad, that was a little tougher. And so if we needed something from Dad especially, I took reinforcements with me, amen, and wanted them to go because I knew that group was going to carry a little bit more clout. That group was going to carry a little bit more weight. I knew that Mom and Dad wouldn't want to disappoint, they don't want to disappoint me, but they definitely don't want to disappoint the crowd. Take your Bibles, if you will, and look at Matthew chapter 18 this morning. Matthew 18 and verse number 19. Matthew 18, verse 19. Now, I understand that Matthew 18, in context, this is talking about discipline. This is talking about when a church must carry out some church discipline. But still, I want you to notice what the Bible tells us in Matthew 18 and verse number 19. It says this, "Again, I say unto you," verse 19, "again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." Again, we're talking about corporate prayer. We're talking about group prayer. All right. So every Sunday morning, pretty much every Sunday morning before we come out into the service, the men meet over here in pastor's study. And we meet for a time of corporate prayer. And someone says, "Preacher, what's the big deal?" Well, it really is a big deal. I want you to pray privately, but I think we ought to pray corporately. And when we meet over there just for a few moments, very simple. When we meet over there just for a few moments, what we're doing is we're going to our Heavenly Father as a group. Not just as an individual. We're saying, "Father, would you go with us into the service?" And I'm not just asking for me, but man, we've got a bunch of men in here. And God, we need you to go with us into the service. It's why we have corporate prayer before the Sunday services. It's why we pray together for our missionaries. It's why we have occasional prayer meetings, as we did just a couple weeks ago here at the church. It's why sometimes we have altar prayer. Why? Because it's corporate. It's corporate. It's group prayer. It's something that we find that the early church was involved in. And if the early church was involved in it, we ought to do it. And so corporate prayer. Now, let me give you a few thoughts quickly today about this thing of corporate prayer. Why is corporate prayer important? Besides what we've already mentioned. All right, look at this. Number one, corporate prayer encourages, first of all, corporate prayer encourages, what's the word? Unity. Corporate prayer encourages unity. All right, you're in Matthew. Turn back a few pages and look at Matthew chapter 5. And look at verse number 23 with me this morning. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 23. Corporate prayer encourages unity. Man, I'm telling you, folks, I'm about to go down on this first row and amen myself right now. I'm telling you. You're doing a good job. I'm not saying you're not doing a good job. I'm just saying, man, I just feel so, man. Matthew 5:23. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar. Now, understand, this could be any type of gift. This could be a monetary gift. This is probably, as far as in context, probably talking about a sacrifice. This could be a rededication. This could be prayer. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee. Verse 24, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother and then come and offer thy gift. You know, church, it's easy to stay mad at somebody. Two things. It's difficult to stay mad at somebody when you're, number one, praying for them. But it's really hard to stay mad at somebody when you're praying with them. Man, I might just miss all the Sunday school classes and bring everybody in here for a little bit. It's hard to stay sideways with somebody when you're praying for them. Don't insult me by coming to me and telling me that you're okay with somebody and you're not praying for them. If we're going to have unity in our churches, we're going to have to pray. And the reason we have such disunity in the churches today is because we're not doing what the early church was doing. It's a little 1, 2, 3, repeat after me. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And that's our prayer life. We don't have a prayer. We don't even have a prayer time. If we don't have a prayer time, we don't have a prayer life. And we just, you know, I just believe this. I believe that if we're going to have unity, you say, preacher, somebody offended me. Okay. All right. That's not hard to believe. Any advice? Yeah. I got some great advice. Number one, forgive. Number two, pray. Pray for them. Start praying for them every single day. Every single day, start praying for them. You say, preacher, I'm going to do that. God, I pray they'll get their wicked, low-down, dirty heart right with you. Oh, no, 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 I'm not talking about that. Now, you can pray some of that if you want to. I'm talking about you get on your knees and get in your prayer closet and say, Lord, would you bless brother so-and-so? You say, I'll tell you one thing, preacher. I'm not praying for them. there's the problem. And by the way, we're never going to get right if we don't get to first base. You can't get home until you get to first base. And this is first base right here. And so if we're going to have, listen, if we're going to have unity, and here's the thing too, church, how many know this? It's not right for us to stay mad at somebody. Does the Bible not say in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. That means we ought to be doing everything in our power to try to make things right. Well, preacher, if I make things right, I'm compromising. You're not compromising because you make things right. But you're making things right. Doesn't mean what they did to you is not wrong. It just means you can't determine what others do, but you can determine what you do. And so I can't determine if what they do, but by the grace of God, I can determine what I do. And I'm gonna pray for them. Listen, church, again, man, I believe the Lord's helping us this morning. In over 32 years of pastoring, you say, preacher, you just don't know. You don't know what I'm going through. And I probably don't. But I can tell you this, in 32 years of pastoring, you don't pastor 32 years the same place and not have some very hurtful, unwise, stupid things said towards you and your family. Average tenure of a pastor is 3.5 years. It's the average tenure of a pastor. Our pastors can't keep churches. Am I telling it right, Brother Justin? They don't have anybody to preach. We have hundreds of churches across America, if not thousands, that have no pastor in the pulpit this morning. And part of the reason is because just the aggravation. And by the way, I'm not saying this is right. I'm talking about pastors. I'm not saying this is right. But preachers just say, you know what? I'll do something else. I'll just go sell cars or I was successful before I started pastoring, and I'm just going to go do something else. And so they, after 3.5 years, they leave. And is that right? No, it's not right. I told a young pastor this week, I said, you stay. A young man that's probably younger than my oldest son, pastoring in church. And I told this young man, I said, you stay. Stay here. Don't you go anywhere. You stay. That's good counsel. You know how that happens, though? You know how that happens? Prayer. When people hurt you, when people offend you, when people do something against you, you know what you do? You get in your prayer closet and you say, Lord, would you bless brother so-and-so? God, would you help them? God, would you give them light? God, would you bless their family? Lord, would you bless their kids? God, would you help that bitterness to go out? I don't want to see them live a life of bitterness. God, would you just help that bitterness to go out and just help them to love you and help them to love me and help them to love everybody and just have a great life and have joy. And man, just pray and pray and pray and pray and pray. You know what happens when you do that? All of a sudden, you feel that bitterness and that resentment and that anger. You feel it sort of evaporating out of your own life. And church, how many know this? And I didn't get very far today. But how many know this? Disharmony can hinder your prayers from being answered. Now, we got to be done, but I want you to turn a couple places maybe with me. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Now, this is in context. This is talking to husbands. The first part of that chapter addresses the wives, and then we come to verse 7, and this addresses the husbands. 1 Peter 3, verse 7. I really believe this would be applicable to both husband and wife. But 1 Peter 3, verse 7, Peter says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them, dwell with your wives according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. Fellas, she's the weaker vessel. And as being heirs together of the grace of life, look what he says here, that your prayers be not, what? Hindered. And so if you're, man, if you're just constantly bickering with your spouse, and there's indifference, and there's anger, and there's unforgiveness, the Bible seems to point out that our prayers can be hindered. And we don't want our prayers to be hindered. Let me take it one last place. Psalm 66 in your Bibles. And look at verse 18. Some of you have this memorized. And if you don't have it memorized, it's a great one to memorize. Psalm 66 and verse 18. Notice what the psalmist tells us concerning this thing of prayer. Psalm 66, verse 18. The psalmist said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, look at that last phrase. He said, the Lord will not hear me. And so why is it so important that we're involved in corporate prayer? Because corporate prayer encourages unity, great unity. Listen, church. I really believe this. I believe one of the reasons that God is blessing our church, and I pray this prayer. I pray this prayer, I guess, every day. And I hope you'll join me in praying this prayer. I pray this morning, Lord, give us the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Isn't that what the Bible tells us? Give us the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And if Satan can't come in from the outside, you know what happens? He'll come in from the inside. And he'll get people indifferent and mad at each other and he'll cause problems. And so how do we combat that? Prayer. Man, just pray. Pray. And the Lord brings about unity. Well, I was hoping we'd get through the other two, but we didn't. So maybe we can hit that again, or hit it this coming Lord's Day. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. We're going to give you this time for fellowship, which is what we always do. And so we do have some coffee out in the bookstore, and then there's some orange juice, I think, out front. And so just go out and fellowship a little bit and enjoy one another and welcome the visitors as they're coming in. We may have some lost folks coming in today. And so let's welcome them in today as well. Let's pray. Father, we love you. And thank you so much for this time that we've had together this morning. God, everybody ought to come to Sunday school. And they ought to come because of what we've experienced this morning. I really do believe that this is one of the most important parts of the entire day, what's going on right now. And I feel so sorry for those who miss it, because they are missing it. And so, Lord, I pray that you bless our Sunday schools and help them to grow. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you'd help us to be people of prayer. And God, we do pray this corporately this morning. We pray, God, give us the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And I pray, God, that it will be that way until we hear a trumpet sound and the Lord comes to take us home. God, I pray it stay that way forever until you come. And that this will always be a Christ-honoring place. Lord, a place where people will feel the Spirit of God. And I believe we felt him this morning. Thank you for giving us such a powerful word. Bless our fellowship now, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.